good morning, everybody. Great to see you. Hey, if we haven't met, my name is Alex Grauman. I am the campus pastor for our Torrance location. It's really nice to be here at Manhattan Beach today. But of course, my favorite part of now is that we are now connected live with the great people over at Torrance. So greetings to everybody over there. Hope Sunday's going well. Glad we can all be together because we are starting a brand new series of messages for the next 4 weeks. We are going to be in this Voice of Jesus message series. And the topic, the idea that we're going to be exploring together today and for the next 3 weeks after this is this. We are going to be talking about discernment. Now, in our context, discernment means this. It means the spiritual practice of listening to God. How can we hear God guiding us and challenging us to grow and moving us through life as we live a life of faith? Now, there are two kind of motivating questions for the series. We're not going to mention them every single week, but I want you to keep them in mind as we look at this topic that have to do with our own practice of this. I think every Christian should be improving at their ability to answer these two questions. Here's the first one. What is Jesus saying to you right now? Is he guiding you into something? Is he challenging you in a sense of right and wrong and trying to lead you in that way? What is his communication to you today based on your current circumstances? And the second question is just as vitally important. How do you know it's Jesus? How do you know it's not some other outside influence or, at worst, your own sinful impulses that are directing your life? How can you tell the difference in yourself between the internal voice that you have and the inner witness of God's Holy Spirit directing your life? This is a challenging thing. And, you know, to kick it off, let me tell you a story. Some of you know, many of you know, if you've been here to hear me preach here, I'm a man of simple joys in life. I like cereal. I like going to the movies. I like Legos. But something that you may not know is that not only do I like Legos, but for a significant season in my life, Legos were part of my livelihood. I didn't work at the Lego store or anything like that, but instead, maybe 15, 20 years ago, we were really struggling to make ends meet. I was a youth pastor at a small church. My wife was a high school English teacher, and those bills were flying at us left and right. And we had to come up with other ways to kind of offset our income. And I found a hobby and turned it into something that really helped us, and that was flipping Legos. That I would buy bulk Legos, like at garage sales or on Craigslist, and then me and my little kids, they were little at the time, we would piece them back into sets and then sell those on eBay for a profit. Turned out I was really good at this. It went really well. We paid for our taxes in Lego money. We paid for all of our car repairs for years and years with Lego money. In fact, when our kids were tiny, we took them on some of the only family vacations we ever had with Lego money. It was an exciting season in our lives, really surviving by the skin of our teeth. Another thing you need to know is at that time, this was kind of mid to late 2000s, there was a holy grail of Lego sets, some set that every collector, every fan, every flipper wanted to get their hands on, and it was this, the original Millennium Falcon Ultimate Collector's Edition, set number 101. 79, over 5,000 pieces. It was retail $500, but it was so rare, often would sell out, that the value, if you could get your hands on it, was double that, $1,000. Nowadays, if you own this unopened, it can be $2,000 to $3,000. Wow! You're all thinking about your garages right now, and do you have that out there? I could never afford this set. But one day, I was surfing Craigslist. 2009, this was the ancient days of Craigslist, and I hit the jackpot. I found a seller with a whole story behind her listing. It turns out that this poor woman, her grandfather had just died. Now, that's not the good part. The good part is that he left her a storage unit, and she opened the door of that storage unit, and who would have guessed, it was full to the brim of unopened Lego Millennium Falcons. And boy, she was struggling. She didn't know what they were worth. She didn't have the background in this. She just was looking for help online with how to resell these. And so when I reached out, it was so kind of her. Not only was she willing to sell me just one at half the price, so one at $250, she was willing to send me 10 of these for half price, so $2,500. All I had to do was send her $2,500 in cash or a money order to her P.O. box in Florida, and she would kindly send them my way free. What a gift. You know what I mean? What a kind-hearted person. Now, we are now in 2026, right? 2026. We have become wise people. We are sharp nowadays. This is an obvious scam, right? I mean, the sob story, the discount, the way she was looking for help, the money order, the P.O. box, the odd address and floor. Of course, this was a scam. Even in 2009, I should have known better. If it's too good to be true, if it seems too good to be true, what is it? It's too good to be true. It's not true. But listen, I tell you that story because of the voices in my life. I had so many voices of desire inside of my heart reading this thing. I had so many voices. Now, some of them were honorable. Some of these voices were saying, boy, if I can pull this off, I would turn $2,500 into $10,000. Boy, that would pay for a lot of car repairs in my struggling family. Maybe, I had the urge to fix things faster than I expected. You ever have that urge? These were the voices that were driving me. And yes, friends, I sent a money order for $2,500. If you've been with me, my latest stories haven't been great in the financial decisions thing. Praise the Lord, though. It was the receiving bank that called me a few days later and basically said, you stupid idiot. Even our 2009 computers could tell this was a scam, so we have flagged it. We've reversed the money order. You get your money back. Don't be so dumb online. Oh, yes. Jesus came through once again. Listen, I am not immune. I know it sounds funny. You are not immune to the voices of influence in your life. We live in a world full of influences. And some of those can be good, but many of them we are just receiving without any discernment. They are not just talking to us about Lego collecting or flipping. They're talking to us and asking questions about who you should marry, what college you should go to, whether you should pursue that promotion or not, whether you should own a home or rent a home, and which is the better decision for you and your family. The questions of, should I say that thing? Should I text or post that thing I so badly want to text or post? We have these influences that are trying to tell us the way to live our lives. The question of whether you should post or not is not the most important question. The most important questions, if you are a follower of Jesus in this context, are these: what is Jesus saying to you? What is he saying to you right now? Not just sometimes, now, in your question, in your current circumstance, what's he saying to you, and how do you know that it's Jesus saying that to you? Those are such pivotal questions. I'm so glad we're going to spend this week and the next three chewing on this together, because it's worth it. It is worth it to learn to be directed by the voice of Jesus. Let me give you the most positive starting main idea that we can give from this series. Here it is. You can learn to recognize the voice of Jesus. Whether you're just starting out with a relationship with God, or if you have been a Christian for a long time, you can get better at recognizing his voice. And today, as we start this, kind of as an intro to this series, I want to give you four truths, four things that you can peg in your mind that are true about the way God speaks to his people that will help us sort of give us maybe guardrails of how we can begin this challenging process of listening to God's voice. So let me jump into the first one. The first truth we need to know is this, that God speaks. This is a radical, supernatural idea that maybe some of us who have been Christians for a long time, we have kind of gotten used to this idea. It is worth chewing on before just taking this for granted, that God speaks. This is a life-changing idea if it's true, and I believe it is. We actually have thousands of years of a witness, of an examples of how God speaks to his people in the Bible. Well, one of the best parts of the Bible is that it shows us the way, the character of God. And as God interacts with his people in the Bible, he is not a vapid spiritual force. He is instead a very direct, thoughtful, personal God as he speaks to his followers. In the Old Testament, maybe you know some of these stories, God directs his chosen people and he tells them where to go, how to act, how to display his love around for the nations around them. He guides them, he corrects them, he shifts the course of their history as he goes. And then in the New Testament, God gives us the ultimate message. He speaks the loudest possible message to us by sending his son, Jesus. In fact, a famous verse from one of Jesus' disciples as he describes the sending of Jesus from God, the guy's name is John, and he describes it like this. He says, the Word, he's using that to describe Jesus, the Word became human, made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Now, the word he's using in ancient Greek that we translate as the word is this word, logos. You may have heard that. It's a word that comes up quite a bit. Even those who don't know ancient Greek have heard sometimes of that word logos. It literally means word, like in spoken communication or written communication. But for the ancient Greeks, they were a philosophical sort. This didn't just mean a word that's spoken. They considered this word to encapsulate the idea of the ultimate meaning. In a world of chaos, the logos could bring order. It could bring reason to the cosmos. What John is saying, one of Jesus' disciples is saying, is that's what Jesus did. If you were looking for meaning and purpose and reason in a disordered world, you need to hear the communication of God through Jesus, because he is full of unfailing love and faithfulness. That's the word expressed. During his life, Jesus, of course, directed his disciples, and then he went to the cross. The ultimate act of God's communication was one of self-sacrifice so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be set free by the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus then rose from the dead, conquered death. His message is one of overcoming. And then after that, when he went back, he ascended into heaven, he continued. That didn't end his communication with his people. He continued to communicate to his followers through the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, we have story after story after story of how God, through the Holy Spirit, communicated his will. He encouraged people to go someplace or not some other place. He taught them to speak wisely and boldly about his mission of love in the world. He continually challenged his people. And then even after the Bible ends, God didn't stop speaking. We have another 2,000 years of Christian history in which many people have honed the ability of discernment, honed the ability to hear from God. And thank goodness we have that history over 2,000 years. Some of them wrote down their process, their discoveries, the ways that worked to hear the voice of Jesus. In fact, in this series, we're going to mention and learn from the wisdom of a few of them. But the overwhelming of all those things, the Bible, Christian history, thousands of years, what we should be stuck with, what we should land on is that foundational truth. Let me show you again. God speaks. He wants to speak to you. So that's the first thing. The second thing is very similar, but defines it even easier. Here's the thing, that not only does God speak, but God speaks only in love. Everything you hear from God is love. Why is that? Well, it's because God, in his prime nature, is love. That is his primary characteristic. Again, that same disciple, John, later is writing a letter to his friends where he describes this. Here's how he talks about the nature of God. He says, dear friends, let's continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And he goes on to talk about Jesus. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God actively moved to show his love. That means that as we're beginning this process of trying to decide which of the voices, the influences in our lives represent the voice of Jesus, we can tune our hearts in. We can tune our minds in to that idea, because if God speaks only in love, then we can limit the bandwidth that we're using to hear other influences. For instance, If you're facing a really challenging season in your life, you're making a big decision about a move or a job change or a relationship, and you, in the process of trying to figure out the right move, you start feeling like you are foolish, or you're undeserving of care, or your problems are too small and no one should really bother with them. Those are not the voice of Jesus. We can eliminate them. Or if you're seeing and you're feeling like, boy, I want God's direction, but maybe he doesn't really care for me. Maybe I'm too broken. Maybe I'm too sinful to hear from Jesus. That is not the voice of Jesus. Similarly, if you are inspired in making a decision to respond in a way that hurts someone else meanly, with viciousness, that you are turned towards a selfishness, that you want to strike back, or you want to use harsh language, or you want to turn away from promises you made to your spouse, or if you want to do something that will bring bitterness into your heart, those are not from God. You may instantly remove the imposter voices in your life. You can label them as such. In fact, that practice of winnowing down the things that even could be the voice of Jesus is a powerful muscle to build. That practice of saying, no, 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 when I feel alone, when I feel useless, that is not the voice of God. The voice of God will tell me he loves me. Now, just to be clear, loving communication does not always mean happy and positive, does it? For those of you who are Christians, you know this, you've experienced this. For those of you who are parents, whatever your spiritual state is, you know that this is possible. Have you ever needed to bring correction to your kids? And it is loving, but they don't take it that way for some reason. They feel differently about that. You could even discipline your children out of love, right? In fact, if you are, in your attempts to hear from God, only hearing positive, happy things, it's likely that's not the voice of God. The voice of God will challenge you into love. He will ask you to move away from sin and towards him. He will lead you to powerfully difficult situations and decisions where you have to show people forgiveness and patience and understanding beyond what you are capable of that you'll need his help to do. The voice of Jesus will speak to you only in love, and will motivate you only into love. That is his nature. So as we go through that, that's a one way that we can lock that down. Remember I said we have four of these truths. Let me show you the third one. Here it is. God speaks quietly. I wish as we begin this, I could tell you that the voice of Jesus comes booming from the clouds. I can tell you that the almost universal experience of Christians over the past 2,000 years is that God speaks very quietly. When I was a kid, little kid, we rented a bunch of houses, but one of the houses I remember, we owned in our family a basketball, but the house didn't have a basketball hoop at it that we were renting. Instead, it had a big rain barrel, like at the end of, you know, the spouts, and so water would fall. It was always full of water. But my parents didn't mind that all we had was a basketball and a rain barrel. They would often just send me outside. You know how you do that to kids? Like, go and play. But they would say, go shoot hoops. And I would say, it's a barrel. And they would say, that's not the point. Get out there and shoot some hoops. And like some little dweeby kids, I made the mistake of thinking that I was pretty good at it. You know, the skill of throwing basketballs into rain barrels. I thought I was really good at it. But I don't know why this sticks out to me so much, but I remember a day, I was probably 8 years old, where I was out there with my basketball and I was like, God, if you want me to be a famous basketball player, help me make this next shot. And then, gong. I couldn't even hit the rain barrel. I suppose God was speaking, but not in the way I wanted him to. And then I was like, wait a minute, God, this is the one. Now wake up, Lord. This, if you want me to be rich and famous basketball star, help me hit this air ball on a rain barrel. I was pitiful. Listen, I tell you that story because not because we all have the situation where we've thrown basketballs into rain barrels, but because I think you can understand what I was craving. Even as a little kid, I was craving the loud, the miraculous, the powerful voice of God to boom from the sky and just direct me, God. Just tell me what to do. In fact, you know, it would be really great if you not only did that, but then you told me exactly what I want to hear. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Unfortunately, I got to tell you, that is absolutely not how God works. He can speak in a voice. He has, in times in history, done that. But I can tell you, almost without exception, not almost without exception, in the history of Christianity, the truth is much more refined. The truth is that God speaks quietly. He wants to impress something on your heart. He wants to whisper something to you. There's a famous story in the Old Testament of the prophet Elijah. Some of you are familiar with that story. The prophet Elijah was called by God, often communicated with God about powerful things that he had seen God do and powerful things that God wanted him to do. But at one point in his life, he was bringing a message of truth, and the people he was bringing that to hated the message, and they wanted to murder Elijah. So Elijah was on the run. It was absolutely one of the darkest points of Elijah's life. He was hiding himself, worried that any moment people would come and kill him. And God, in that moment, as Elijah was calling out to him, God said, I want to talk to you about the next right step. And so he called Elijah to meet with him on a mountain so that God could speak to him. And here's this famous story. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told Elijah. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in that wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. The implication here is that that's how God wanted to speak to Elijah. Now, for centuries, this Hebrew phrase that we translate in the Bible that we have in our pews is a gentle whisper. The original Hebrew phrase is so confusing because it almost translates better into the sound of sheer silence, a thin silence. God speaks, but he often speaks quietly. Why? Why would he just not tell us? Why would he go through this process, even in ancient times, of us searching for a whisper, trying to hear him in silence? I don't mean to speak for God himself, but I can tell you one of the benefits in my life of the mode that God speaks is that it creates a requirement that we ourselves would be still, that we ourselves would be quiet, that we would lean in, that we would turn our spiritual ear towards him. Give God our full focus. If you want to hear the voice of Jesus speaking to you, you must understand that he speaks, but he speaks in a gentle whisper so much of the time. In fact, let me give you one of the most challenging action steps we're going to have over this series. Here's what it is. I want to challenge you to do this. Spend 15 minutes in absolute silence this week, listening for God. And then do that 3 times. I couldn't resist. Do it a couple times. Don't just do it once. It's really hard. Now, we live loud lives. Some of us have not just gotten used to the world being loud. We are dependent on the noise of the world. We can't sleep unless there's traffic. We have white noise machines. I sleep with noise. It's in the title. I turn a machine on to make noise. Even that, I think I could shut off and sit for 15 minutes and say, God, here I am, silent before you. What loving thing do you want to say to me? Where do you want to direct me? For some of you, this will be the hardest thing you do over the next 4 weeks, is taking those AirPods out and just going for a walk without them. Spending time in nature. Now, for me, something that's very helpful in this is I often will get down on my knees in front of my bed to give myself a physical resemblance of what it means to be quiet. I want to challenge you to find the spot for this. In fact, that idea leads us into our fourth truth that I want to share with you, and that's this, is that God speaks most clearly to the humble. The more you can understand your low position and God's high position, the more ability you will begin to grow to hear the voice of Jesus. To humble yourself is a major component of hearing God's direction in your life. The idea that we would hear the voice of God should terrify us. We should approach it with a caution, a wariness, because it can be so easily misused or distorted or misconstrued, where we can say, oh, God said this to me, God said that to me. How flippant we can be about that idea. When we approach, I mean, listening and hearing God's guidance in our life is not level one spiritual Christianity. It is an advanced skill. And we should approach it with humility, with an awareness of the gravity that goes along with us, that we would hear and understand the voice of the divine being. That is an importance level that we must take seriously. Let it humble us. And if we were to do that, it's worth it, because here's what we learn from the psalm. The psalmist says this: the Lord is good. He does what's right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads who? The humble in doing right, teaching them his ways. Not only how can you get quiet this week, but can you bring yourself to a sense, a feeling of humility? For me, when my physical posture reflects where I want my spiritual posture to be, it's very helpful to kneel on the ground for 15 minutes, to sit quietly on the side of my bed or outside on the stoop. And sometimes I even hold my hands out and I breathe deeply and I'm thankful for the breath God has given me in the times that I need to be quiet. What physical thing could you do with your body that would help you get into a place, not just of quiet, but a place of remembering humility? That will set you up to be at least in a place where I want you to hear over and over, God loves you. He is with you. That's what he'll say to you. Those are the beginning words of the voice of Jesus. In fact, let me give you an action step-ish, next level challenge when it comes to this experience. Not quite an action step, but here's what it is. This week, let God talk to you about you. It is so tempting to want to hear the voice of God for what other people should change, what your boss should do differently than he's doing to you right now. That is possible to hear the voice of God on behalf of others, but that is some advanced discernment, friends, and I want to caution you against it. I remember when my son, now he's in his 20s, when he was a little guy, maybe 5 years old, one night it was bedtime, but he wanted to play Mario Kart with me. See, we're people of simple pleasures, Mario Kart. And he was like, Dad, I want to play Mario Kart. And I said, sorry, man, it's time for bed. And he paused, and I could see his brain working, and then he was like, God told me we could. And it was a beautiful, there's something beautiful there. Even at a young age, he believed that God could speak to him. He immediately used that against me. And it was easy to see. I said, hey, man, I'm so sorry. If God wants us to play Mario Kart after bedtime, he's going to have to tell me, not you. And he hasn't said anything of the sort lately. So I'm sorry, man, go to bed. And he went off to bed. We want to hear the voice of Jesus for others, what they should do differently to match what we want in life. And I got to tell you, in the next couple weeks, we are going to talk about how we can hear the voice of Jesus through other Christians. But don't jump ahead. For this week, spend time hearing from God about your life, your situation. Ask him the question, Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? Settle me into being able to understand that it's you speaking. In the quiet, he wants to speak directly to you about you. Those are the four things. Let's review what those looked like today. We said you can learn to recognize the voice of Jesus, but by remembering at least these four truths. God speaks. God speaks only in love, but he speaks quietly. God speaks most clearly to the humble. By the way, as we kind of come to a close here, thank you so much for taking this seriously. Some of you are here maybe visiting or just your first couple times back at church, and you just heard me spend 25 minutes, 30 minutes talking about hearing God. That is some wacky stuff. And I understand that. Thank you for hearing the gravity we're trying to talk about this, because it's real, it's true. I know that this can be a strange, mystical thing to step into, but it actually happens, where God communicates to his people. It was 1994 for me. I was a teenager, just finished my freshman year of high school, and the girl that I was dating at the time, her little tiny church got a new youth pastor, and she invited me to youth group, and because I was dating her, I accepted, and I loved it. This little tiny youth group, there was like three of us to start. It grew to like six. And later that summer, we went on a missions trip. We went on a missions trip to Iowa, the darkest place, Iowa, where we served people in need. And it was the hottest week on record at the time that we were there. We were doing puppet shows about Jesus in the park. And it was one of the hardest weeks of my life. It drained me in a way. It humbled me in a way. I had never up to that point been humbled. And it was at the end of that week-long trip where God spoke to me. I couldn't believe it. And he talked to me about his love. And he talked to me about the sin in my life that I knew was rebellious, that I had been hiding, wanting to bury, wanting no one else to see, but Jesus saw it. And he was willing to forgive me. And he offered me new purpose, new meaning if I were to pursue him and let him lead my life. I have been listening to God since 1994, and I can tell you, he speaks so quietly. But the love you receive from this practice will change your eternity. So as we go through this next 3 weeks, will you make a commitment to be at church for 3 weeks in a row? I know it's summer, but we need to grow together in this ability to hear the loving voice of Jesus. That's what he's calling to as a church. All right, thanks so much again. Can I ask at both campuses, as we close up today, I'm gonna pray over us. Can you stand with me? Let's stand for a closing. Hey, listen, if there is something in your life you're going through and you'd like someone to speak to you and pray for you and ask God to speak to you, we have a great prayer team that's going to be by the lit crosses that are over on this side of the room at both of our campuses. Spend an extra 5 minutes. It'll be worth your time. All right, friends, let me pray over us and then we'll dismiss. Dear Jesus, through your voice of love, would you speak to us this week? Will you help us to discern your voice among the loudness, the other voices, the other impulses, the other influences in our lives? Help us weed through those, Lord God, that we might find the truth that comes only from you. It is a miracle that you are willing to do this, Lord God. I pray that in our times of quiet this week, the discipline that is going to take, I pray that you would receive that as worship, that you would receive that as an invitation to be powerfully present in our lives. Speak to us, Lord God. Guide us, direct us, show us the way, your way, the way of love. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us enough to do that. And so we go with the knowledge of your presence, and we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for coming to church, everybody. We'll see you back next week.